Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Tiny Book of Big Manifesting by Jeffrey Siegel. Foreword by Don Jose Ruiz. Narrated by Matthew Boston. Foreword. We all have a purpose here in this world. We all have a purpose in this life. And when we are aware that we are life and that we are a creating force, we begin to witness. We're here to manifest whatever is in our heart. Whatever we perceive, we begin to give it shape, to give it form, and to give it a story. That story is how we become the narrator of our life. When we find our voice to express what we have inside, there is no longer any doubt we can create what is in our inspired heart. Then we will no longer sacrifice like we used to. When we wake up knowing that to create is the only thing that we need to be aware of in life, the only thing we have to do on our paths is to get out of our own way. I remember feeling like I was in a labyrinth of creativity, because I had suppressed myself, because I believed the lie that I wasn't a great artist, that I couldn't manifest whatever was within me, because I wasn't good enough. I was less than. I turned my judgment, my excuses, my justification, my suppression into a belief system, and gave that belief system life. I gave my power away, became haunted by guilt and shame, because I wasn't walking my path, because I was letting myself down. When I noticed I was getting in my own way, I realized I was robbing myself of the gift of creating what was in my heart. And when I figured that out, the master told me, "You're also robbing this world of your potential, your creativity. When you believe in yourself, you can accomplish many things. But if you sabotage yourself, you can sabotage many things." Imagine a painter that finishes a painting and looks at it and says it's not good. He says, "I'm an inadequate manifester," because he's always judging himself. Of course he won't think anything he does is good, because he doesn't have the awareness that everything is perfect. When we are aware that we're perfect, just the way we are, we understand that the divine Mother Nature, God, whatever you believe it is that gave us this life, is the master of perfection. And the master of perfection makes us able to see into ourselves, knowing that we can have everything that we want in this world. I'm so happy that my brother from spirit, Jeffrey Siegel, has created The Tiny Book of Big Manifesting, because it's in the art of creation where we see ourselves, because in the art of creation is our life. And on that path, we experience many life lessons. Brother Jeffrey Siegel walks us along this path so we can find ourselves in our own labyrinth and not be corrupted or settle anymore for a creation that wasn't right for us. This is why sometimes our inspiration gets lost, because we don't believe that we can manifest anything in our life. And the most beautiful thing to manifest in our life is the freedom to create what's in our hearts. When we do this, we allow the love of our life to come out, just like it was a garden of roses finally coming into bloom. We're no longer suppressing them. Instead, we nurture them with water and sunshine. And when we put our ideas out into the world, they're all perfect. But the moment we begin judging our ideas, our manifestations, due to our own mental blocks, that is when we go against the infinite, because in the infinite is where dreams are born. When we begin believing in ourselves, we find the key. And this is what Brother Jeffrey is sharing with us, how to find the art of creativity within us all and to respect life as it is, because life has its own rules. It has its own way of dreaming. When we, as in the Toltec tradition, don't take life personally, it has the freedom to create whatever it wants to create, because it has the freedom to create from a different world. And everyone has a world. The way I understand my world and belief system, I can activate the power to manifest. I can tell you one thing. We know that this planet is a small world, and that every individual is a creator. And that is what Toltec means, artist of the spirit, because we're creating art all the time. It's not a religion. It's a way of life, because we all work for the same boss. I'm so happy for my brother, Jeffrey Siegel, for writing this tiny book of big manifesting, to wake up all of the artists with the words of love that he expresses. And those words that are love will become like seeds. And to all you artists who are hearing this or listening to this, find your way, and get inspired by this beautiful message of love. Because this is our birthright, to be happy, to enjoy this life, to be authentic in ourselves in good times and bad. And when the bad times come, we need to share our manifestations of love. When we share them with ourselves, we begin sharing them with others. This gives us the compassion to understand that life and death are the inspiration within the space between them. This is where we are, at the point in our lives where we can finally listen to ourselves without getting in the way and realize that why we couldn't manifest is because we've been using words in a negative way to sabotage ourselves. Imagine you had one day to manifest whatever is in your heart, to give yourself the most beautiful day, and then you go for it. You give yourself the permission to create and to listen to your inner self, your big, beautiful heart that is devoted to love. Now, with unconditional love in your whole being activated, you know that you're here on a mission, and that mission is to create whatever is within you and not get in the way anymore. Whatever your experiences in life, they will become the colors that you will paint onto the canvas of whatever project you choose. When you take action on what's in your imagination, you're not blocking it anymore because your spirit speaks to you. This is the beautiful thing about art. When artists heed inspiration from the infinite that is within, they begin truly listening without any self-importance from an impersonal point of view. You get inspired by your feelings, by your emotions, by manifesting your love, by overcoming any difficult times, and by getting inspired by those difficult times to create your art. You can say to yourself that this is just a dream, and if you don't like your dream, you can change it. How? Because it's your dream. That's the power of believing in yourself. Because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you manifest? When you believe in yourself, you can manifest. But not because you believe you are more powerful than anybody else. No, that's ego. The real power is when you listen to you and have all the faith you need to create whatever is inside of you and to dismiss any lies that will sabotage you. In that moment, you begin noticing that you are now in a position to create whatever is in your heart because you can manifest. With Brother Jeffrey Siegel's guide, he will take you through a journey through the art of creation and his code of life. Because when you balance these two, you have respect for all creation, including yourself. Remember, you are love, and you are meant to be loved by yourself because you're grateful to be alive. And when you're grateful to be alive, you know that the body you have belongs to this planet Earth, the divine mother of life itself. We are the energy that holds the space to create. This is why we're here in life, to experience, to see all the beauty and all the hard times, and turn hell into heaven, suffering into happiness, as we bring our light to them. That is the gift of manifesting. Because when we live this way, we bring light and heaven into creative freedom, to walk in the labyrinth of creation that is this world, freely, without believing in lies and sacrificing the loves of our lives anymore. So it's time to wake up, brothers and sisters. And I'm not sorry to say, once you wake up, you can never go back to sleep. Now I invite you to go on a journey of infinite potential, surrender, and letting go, and the beginning of manifesting the art of your life. Amen. Don Jose Ruiz, author of The Medicine Bag and The Wisdom of the Shamans. Introduction. You're looking for a book. You're looking for some wisdom, some advice, something to inspire you, to move you along your path, to take you to the next level. You've picked up this book and are thinking, why should I listen to this one? Or, can this book help me? Does this book have what I'm looking for? I have about 30 seconds to answer these questions and convince you to buy this book and listen on. If you are looking to change your life, to add to your life, to bring relationships and experiences into your life that have been missing, then the answer to these questions are, yes, this book can help you. I have used the principles that will follow to create the life I have always wanted, both personally and professionally. No joke, no BS. There have been ups and downs. There have been challenges in relationships, in career, and in health. But the key is that these challenges have been manageable, short-lived, and in the end, for my better good and for my growth. This is what challenges, struggles, hardships, whatever you want to call them, are for. To aid in one's growth so that you get more of what you want. That is the purpose of this book. To help you get more of what you want, what you desire, what you dream of. If that's what you're looking for, then this is the book for you. Hopefully, I've got you by now. If you want to listen on or just need a bit more convincing, here's a bit more about me. I'm in my early 60s. I currently own the largest spiritual bookstore in Los Angeles, Mystic Journey Bookstore. Although the bookstore opened in October 2008, right at the beginning of the Great Recession, it is now a thriving success. I opened the Mystic Journey after being a highly successful, multi-million-dollar generating lawyer for over 25 years. But I didn't just decide one day to ditch the law practice and open a bookstore. Rather, after wanting to leave the practice of law for over a decade, the universe decided, with my help of course, to let me experience a bout with cancer to help me make the decision. The encounter with cancer led me to one of the most important decisions of my life, to follow my intuition and not undergo recommended chemotherapy after the doctors discovered a post-operative abnormality in my lymph nodes, and instead pursue an alternative natural course of healing. The abnormality disappeared, and I have been cancer-free for over a decade. Then, a few years ago, I became the founder of the largest crystal gallery in all of Southern California, if not the United States, or even the world. A showroom of magnificent crystals and geodes, some standing over 7 feet tall or weighing more than 2,000 pounds. This business came about solely from my mental powers of creation. After opening Mystic Journey Bookstore, I thought about opening a second bookstore for many years. A few opportunities came my way, but nothing materialized. At the same time, my interest in crystals grew, and I began bringing larger crystals into the bookstore. Soon, however, I was running out of space for large crystals, and I began to think, I wish I had more space. As my interest in large crystals grew, however, my interest in opening a second bookstore waned. I became stuck with an ever-growing desire for bigger crystals. My deep desire was to have a crystal gallery, a large, open retail space, like an art gallery, right next to the bookstore. But this could not happen where the bookstore was located, as on one side was a residential property, and on the other was a restaurant space. Eventually, I threw my hands up, and more or less gave up trying to figure out a solution. Then, out of the blue, I got a call from the bookstore's landlord. He said, I have this new space that has become available. You have told me about wanting to have more big crystals. I think this place would be perfect. It was not next to the bookstore, or even on the same street, but it was nearby, about a mile away. While it was not exactly what I had desired or envisioned, I took the leap, the step forward, and a month later, Mystic Journey Crystal Gallery was born. But as so often happens, this was not the end of the story. My lease for the bookstore was set to end in the spring of 2020. Due to crazily rising rents on the street where my bookstore was founded, Abbot Kinney Boulevard in Venice, California, I decided in 2019 that I had to move to a new location. I was sad about this, as the bookstore had been on Abbot Kinney for 12 years and had been very successful. But this was something I felt I had to do to ensure the continued success and even survival of the Mystic Journey bookstore. Surprisingly, but really not surprisingly, on the first day I went to look for a new retail location with my commercial real estate broker, I found what I thought was the perfect space. It was on a wonderful retail street, Main Street in Santa Monica, California, that was the ideal size, with an amazing garden patio at the right rental price. I signed a new lease within days, right at the beginning of 2020, and I figured I was set for our move in late spring of 2020. But then the COVID-19 pandemic hit. I shut down the bookstore a month sooner than planned. But this shutdown gave us time to do our build-out in the new location and make our move. Amazingly, but not amazingly, during this time of shutdown, which also included the shutdown of the Crystal Gallery, I was approached by the owner of the business next to our new bookstore location, inquiring whether I would be interested in subletting their location, as they could not survive the pandemic closure. And there it was, manifesting right before my eyes, the opportunity to have the Crystal Gallery right next door to my bookstore. It took a little longer than expected, but I had held this vision, and I made it happen. I made it manifest, and the new Mystic Journey bookstore and Mystic Journey Crystal Gallery are now one, side by side, next to each other. I also have to add, the business, which was in the space that the Crystal Gallery now occupies, was called Bryn Walker, and my daughter's name is Bryn. Not the most common name. What is the chance of that? Divine intervention? And now, I've had two very successful careers, and I'm working, if you can call it that, at the job of my choice, at the career I, me, myself chose out of any possible second career. In relationships, I consider myself to have been very successful as well. When I married nearly 30 years ago, I used the principles in this book to bring in the perfect wife at the time. She was exactly what I wanted. We had a wonderful marriage for many years, had a beautiful home, created a beautiful daughter, and traveled the world. But nothing stays the same, and the relationship changed. And after some 12 years of marriage, I, like so many, went through a divorce. It was not easy, but as far as divorces go, it was quite manageable, if not amicable. When one goes through a divorce and comes out the other side, the question is often asked, what happened? What would I want different in my next partner that was lacking in my just-ended relationship? I answered this question and asked the universe for a new partner with the specific qualities I desired. This request was answered, and the universe brought the perfect partner to aid me through my cancer and help me open Mystic Journey. Years later, this relationship also ended. Again, I asked the universe for someone with specific qualities, qualities that I felt were needed in the next phase of my life. The universe delivered again, providing me with just the relationship I wanted, and I'm still in that relationship more than 10 years later. I'm not making this up. I asked for a partner, a woman with certain specific qualities for a long-term relationship 3 times now. Each time, I've received just what I asked for. And while 2 of these relationships have ended, they were perfect, just what I needed at the time. Just like my current relationship. You can have the relationship you want too. Finally, beyond my professional life and the personal relationships I've had in my life, I also have what I would call my external or environmental life. And in this aspect of my life, I have exactly, and I mean exactly, what I want as well. I live in my dream home, a condo on the beach. I travel the world. I visited some 50 countries, and I have a fabulous, independent, self-supportive, 20-something daughter with whom I have a great, but not overbearing, relationship. I share all this not to gloat, but to do my best to say to you, I wrote this book to share with you the principles I've learned and the philosophies and values that I hold and that I've used to create everything I've ever wanted in my life. And I believe that if you use what I share in this book, you can create all you want in your life as well. I've lived it. I'm a living example of how you can create whatever you want in your life. I'm not perfect. No one is. But I've had, and continue to have, a great bleeping life. And you can too. Last 2 notes. First, while I'll be sharing practical steps and actual practices that you can use in your life to create all that you want, there is another part of the work that will facilitate, enhance, and accelerate your creative abilities. In fact, without also implementing this second part of the work, the creative process can be at best stymied, and at worst, brought to a complete standstill. This second part of the work is what I call a code of life. It is a set of values, a set of principles to live by as you move through each day and each moment. Both the practices and the principles are needed to manifest your truest desires and live the life you dreamed of. You can undertake all the manifesting practices you want. Try out every approach to, or ritual for, how to make your dreams come true. But if you don't bring in and really live under a code of life that is in alignment with the certain universal forces and values, what you want will not come to pass. Similarly, you can live under a code of life that is honorable, compassionate, giving, loving, and of service to those near you, your community, or even the world and humanity as a whole. But without the proper tools, the true teachings you need, you will still not be able to create and manifest what you desire. It takes both, and this book gives you both. The practices for manifesting and the principles, the code of life, to ensure that the practices are not in vain, and that all the effort and energy you put into creation actually materializes on this physical plane we call our lives. Both together are what have led me to bring all I want into my life. It will do the same for you. Second, I want you to know that what I will share with you is not complicated. It will not take thousands of words to convey. The chapters that follow will be short, concise, and to the point. Hopefully, this will make what I write easy to get through, easy to digest, and easy to remember. But don't be fooled by their brevity. As we've all heard so many times, big things come in small packages. Take what I give you to heart and integrate it into you. Don't just listen and say, "Wow, that's easy." If it was that easy, everyone would have everything they want, and we know that's not the case. I encourage you to really make what I have to say part of your life, part of your DNA, part of you. May you have all you desire. Namaste. Part 1. The Art of Creation. 1. Take the first step. What do you really want? The most important question in life is this: what do I really want? It sounds easy to answer, but it's not. In fact, it's one of the toughest questions in life to answer honestly. And significantly, there is only one, yes, one answer. You can't have a few answers. You can't say, "Well, in this part of my life, I want this the most, and in that part of my life, I want that the most." This is one of the greatest errors people make in their efforts to manifest what they want in their life. It plays into one of the great principles of life and manifestation. It goes like this. Everything is made of energy. Energy, which is invisible, manifests into things which are visible, material. Thoughts are energy. That means thoughts manifest into physical things. This one principle is how everything in your life is created. This is true whether you like what you've created or not. Your thoughts have created your life. I'll discuss this more in Chapter 4, but you must pay attention to your thoughts, because what you think, you create. And if you're loose with your thoughts, you're loose with what you create and are likely creating things you don't really want. To create what you do want, you have to decide what that truly is. You have to decide on the one thing that you want above all other things. The reason you need to choose one thing is that, again, thoughts are energy. And if you disperse the energy, if you send your manifesting energy into multiple areas, you dissipate that energy and its ability to manifest. By analogy, let's say you have a valve that needs X pounds of pressure applied to open. You have one source of force, and that one source is enough to open the valve only if it is fully and exclusively applied to that one valve. But if you divide the force between two valves, there's not enough to open the one valve you really wanted to open, because some of the force has been diverted to the other valve. Thus, it is essential, critical to the manifesting process, that you answer the precise question, "What do I really want?" It is not a question asking for more than a single answer. It is not asking for an answer that says, "I want this, this, and this equally," or, "I want this a lot, and this too, and this, but a little less." It's hard, I know, but you must choose. You must decide. You must pick the one thing you truly, really want to manifest. Without this, you are likely, if not doomed, to fail in your quest to create what you want. Don't be afraid to admit that this is an extremely hard question to answer. Maybe not for all, but for most it is. For me it was. It took me over a decade to answer this question. I had been wanting to get out of law for years. I took a shot at being a real estate broker. I had a broker's license and sat open houses. I applied to go back to school to become a family therapist. I started to paint and even had a show at a prestigious gallery in Los Angeles where I sold my paintings. I set out to become a travel agent. It took me a long time to really come to terms with what I really wanted to do with my life. In fact, it took me giving myself cancer to force me to figure out the answer to this question. Here I must digress for a moment. Yes, you heard that right. I did say, I gave myself cancer. I fully believe this to be true. I created it. I caused the disease to manifest in my body. I did this because I couldn't figure out another way to leave the practice of law. I was always too scared, too tied to a lawyer's salary, too insecure to step into the abyss and let life take care of me. So I stuck with the law, continuing to dream of leaving it one day. But I remember distinctly lying on the floor of my condo one afternoon, looking out the window and thinking, if I don't get out of the law biz soon, I'm going to get sick. And sure enough, not long after, I got my cancer. I thought it, it happened. It's not rocket science. This is how manifestation works, for both good and what appears to be not so good. You can and do manifest in this way as well. The trick, really the secret, however, is to take control of the manifestation process. And the first step to doing this is to answer the question, what do I really want? Think long. Think hard. Meditate on this question if you meditate. Walk on the beach. Walk in the mountains. Go running. Do whatever you do. But think on this question as deeply as you possibly can to come up with the answer. You may ask, how will I know this is the answer? How do I know this is the right answer? My response to you is this. Your answer will resonate with you. It will be like a harmonious note with your being, your soul, your inner self, whatever you want to call the core of yourself. You will know. It will just feel right. In addition, it will be easy to visualize. I'll discuss this more in the next chapter, but what you really want will be easy to see in your mind's eye. It will be like hitting the right note and knowing it if you sing. It will be like hitting the sweet spot in a golf shot if you golf. It will be like finding the perfect piece of clothing or jewelry for that special occasion if you shop. And we all shop. Lastly, I believe a good, if not the best place to start in thinking about this question is to ask yourself, what am I passionate about? If you think deeply about this, I believe it will begin to move you towards securing the answer to the key question of, what do I really want? Have fun with this. Don't rush it, but don't procrastinate with it. Think deeply. As was once said in a movie, the answer is out there. 2. Practice using mental imagery. You've decided what you really want. Now the question is, what's next? Here is the answer. You need to visualize what you want and follow the practice I will lay out. This will start the manifestation process. First, you need to state what you want. You can use any group of words you choose, but in essence, you need to say out loud something to the effect of, I will use all my energies to manifest the following desire. And then you need to fill in the end of the statement with what you really want. Then you need to visualize what you want. You should create as clear a picture as you can. Put in as much detail as you can. Colors, smells, sounds all help. I would suggest not trying to create the finished picture all at once. Leonardo da Vinci didn't paint the Mona Lisa all in one sitting. Start with a general outline of what you want. Over days and weeks, fill in the details. Things will come to you as you fill in the picture. Don't force it. And this leads to a critical point, which is this. If what you decide you want to manifest, what you want to create, is not easily visualized, if what you think you really want doesn't form easily, fluidly, effortlessly in your mind, take some time to check back in with your desire and make sure it is really what you want most, more than anything. Your goal should be easy to visualize. That's not to say every detail should be easy to visualize on the first day, but the general outline of it should. And as the days go by, it should be easy, in fact fun, to fill in details of the picture. If it's not, if you feel like you're struggling to see what you desire, if you feel like you're swimming upstream against the current with this practice, then it is usually, not always, but usually a sign that you need to check back in with your desire to ensure it is, in the core of your being, what you really want. Be honest with yourself. This is a must. And if you are certain that you know what you really want, then continue to visualize it. If it continues to take more than what you think is a reasonable amount of effort to visualize what you want, think about breaking your want into steps or stages. Make the desire bite-size. For example, if you want a new job and you can't visualize yourself sitting at the desk in your new job, then start by making your desire the preparation and mailing out of a resume. See if you can picture yourself finishing the resume, printing it, putting it into an envelope, putting the stamp on it, and dropping it into a mailbox. If you can visualize...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?